T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mess. With a little peace and some harmony.
They all met in college in South Carolina. Came up with a weird name and then released a bunch of hits. Hootie and the Blowfish is your artist of the day. I think they're making their debut, by the way. Did you get that corona down there when you were in the Bahamas or what?
I tried, but I couldn't get it.
You tried?
Well, I really wanted to be quarantined on a cruise ship for a while.
Yeah, wouldn't that suck?
You really don't want to be quarantined on a
hell
cruise ship.
I don't.
We talked about this.
I was really liking it for the few days I was there, and I had a balcony, and they have movies, like lots of movies you can watch.
Infect me.
And they were bringing, they would bring food to your door.
Like crab.
I really like the idea of quarantine.
Tell me,
there.
What was the hand washing protocol like on the ship? Were there people stationed?
Well, we got an email beforehand letting us know that things were going to be different. And we had to fill out like a health questionnaire beforehand. And they checked everybody's passports to make sure that nobody had been to China. There was a couple other places that if you had been that you couldn't board the ship. And then, of course, they had hand washing stations everywhere. And then they had like little stations before any place that you ate. So it was just constant encouragement to keep washing your hands.
You feeling a little feverish?
No, and I'm not going to admit it now. Like then I would have said if I was feeling sick because I wanted to get quarantined.
Did you hear they caught someone trying to, or wait, back up. I don't think they caught someone trying to escape. Someone escaped from the cruise ship quarantine. I believe it was a comedian. Let me look it up.
Why?
Rebecca like Crockett. Around the-
Why?
Well, because maybe he had other gigs. He's got stuff he's got to do.
What was the view like from the balcony? Just beautiful ocean water?
Just ocean as far as you could see.
And you could like ring for room service and just say, I'll take the crab, the lobster, and a bottle of wine.
You didn't have to ring. Like, it was on an app. You can just order what you wanted on the app and it came to
your door. Please give me coronavirus.
An Oregon comedian who was working on the coronavirus-stricken MS Westerdam cruise, which was the one that was docked in Cambodia, right? Because five other countries turned it away. Says he has been fired.
But
from
yet Cambodia would take it.
We got it.
We'll take it.
Says he's been fired from future gigs after fleeing quarantine. His name is Frank King. He now has a wealth of new material. He said he escaped the hotel lockdown implemented after one of the Holland America liner passengers tested positive. He said, we were stuck in the hotel from which I self-deported. I had four shows on the trip, some of my best shows ever, because, you know, we're all in it together. Made a few jokes about it. It's not the love boat. It's the glove boat. Thank you very much. God.
That's actually pretty funny.
King said at the point that they said they were halting anyone coming off or on, he decided to leave and fly home to Oregon through Seattle before he got his swab test results back.
Okay.
He was cleared by the CDC.
So there wasn't some massive heist? Because I was kind of picturing some massive heist here.
Kind of funny. But it's only funny because he didn't have it. I mean, I think if he had had it and escaped, and now he's roaming around Seattle touching...
Mike, what's up, man?
I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Good. I'm glad, brother.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, you know, on the Virginia College thing, here's the real question I have. They get federal funds, I assume. Is that correct? And it's public school?
It is a public school. Whether they get federal funds, I don't know.
I would say most of them get a little of something. Okay.
They definitely get state funding, yes, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, tax money. All right. So, public. And I just think that, and I'm a child of the 60s, all right? But I think that we, just as a society, we're insulating ourselves. And like you say, if you want to know about another culture, you've got to be able to get in and around those people. And if they want to be understood, so I just think that they just thought the colleges say, hold it. If we're going to have something here, everybody's welcome.
And they did, to be clear, Mike. To be clear, the college came out and said, we never said, we were going to bar white people from going to the multicultural center. In fact, the opposite. They said we wanted this to be a place where all students feel welcome.
Right, and that's good. I think the more that happens, maybe society in itself will reverse this isolationist theory, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. But that's all I got to say, guys.
Mm-hmm. Have a good weekend. Hey, Mike, you do the same,
too.
Buddy.
What, beg pardon?
You were going to finish off with something, and I cut you off.
I just said that was really all I had to say, I do enjoy the show.
Thank you, man. That's such a high compliment.
Bet.
Thank you, buddy.
You bet.
You're very kind. Kevin in Overland Park. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Hi.
Hey. I was just want to weigh in. These people, I mean, she kind of falls into the same line as, all white people are racist stuff, which I know she didn't say that. But these people also discriminate against Asian males as well.
Okay.
At Google, James Damore found out that they were openly discriminating against Asian males and white males because there was too many of them, because there wasn't enough in the workforce or whatever. But the truth is because there's not that many women that are in the tech industry. I don't see any male nurses going out saying, oh, there isn't enough men in the nursing, I just don't understand it.
Kevin, are you Asian, if I can ask?
No, I'm not. I'm not Asian. But I'm just, from what I only do it from what I perceive to be. I'm not Asian, though.
Hmm. Okay. All right, bro. Hey, I do appreciate the call. We'll wrap it up with Mike in Topeka before we move on. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
It's going well.
So, I'm white, and my brothers are black.
Okay.
And growing up, whenever we were out and about or whatever, there were various situations where we'd introduce ourselves to people and they wouldn't believe that we were brothers because he's black and I'm white. That's not possible. And rather than explain to these people that we have the same mom and different dads, very often we would tell people that I was albino. And
you'd
be surprised how many people would look at me and say, wow, you're so tan for an albino guy. And my brother and I would look at each other and just shake our heads like, wow, this person's an idiot.
You did that? Because they are.
Exactly. But that brings to mind two good questions that I personally had for this person. If we were both to go to this college, since my brother is black, would he be able to invite me to that multicultural center because I'm white?
Sure, it's a great question.
The other one is there legitimately are albino black people. So they're black, but their skin is white because they have no pigment.
Correct.
Are they not allowed in that room? Like, the only difference is the pigment of their skin. So, like, are they not allowed in because their skin's white, but technically they're black?
I would imagine they would be allowed in. And by the way, let's be clear. We're talking about the idiocy of one student who is upset that the multicultural center at the University of Virginia.
And supporters who clapped. I mean, there were, people
that's
in
true.
The room who supported what she said.
She was not alone. You're right. Who said there were too many white people in the multicultural center. Well, maybe those white people are there to learn. Maybe they're there to expand their horizons. Maybe they want to understand. For those of you who are my age or a little bit older, sad news today, a guy by the name of Will Cohen, who went by the stage name of Bill Britton, who was better known as Bozo the Clown.
Aww. Bozo the Clown.
He passed away about 2 weeks ago, but it's just now coming out in the New York Daily News. Bill Britton, who was affectionately known as Bozo the Clown, has passed away at the age of 91. You remember Bozo the Clown when we were kids?
I absolutely do. And Wizzo in Topeka.
I used to watch Bozo in the morning while I was eating my cereal, getting ready to go to school.
You won't be watching him anymore.
Well, we haven't watched him for a while.
Clowns are creepy now.
Bill Britton passed away. Oh, when we get back, there was a fascinating question that was asked today on The View. Not that I watch it anymore.
Right. There's the topic.
No, no. But I had it on GMA when I left the house, and when I came home from running a bunch of errands for 4 hours, I turned on the TV, and it was still on ABC, and they had a very interesting question that I'm going to pose to the three of you when we get back.
Okay.
And I want you to think about it. What was the movie when you were a kid? And by kid, it's anything from like 10 to 18, okay, that terrified you.
Oh, I got that immediately.
Yeah, so do I. We'll get to that in just a second. Think about that while we're in break. What was the movie as a kid that terrified you? Dana Wright, Sam Stevie the Third, Rebecca Crockett, who has coronavirus. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. It's close to midnight. All right, so I may or may not have caught a segment of The View today when I got home. It's not wise. I was watching Good Morning America today because they had a really good interview with Ben Affleck at 7:30 this morning about his struggles with alcohol, et cetera, and sobriety, et cetera. And I turned the TV off as I left the house to go to the gym. And when I got back, it was on The View when I turned the TV on. And they had a really interesting final segment. The movie when you were a kid that scared the living bejesus out of you. I'll start to my left.
Pet Sematary.
Ooh, the original.
And it was the scene where the mom gets her hand in the garbage disposal. Like, freaked me out. And to this day, like, I look around me before I put my hand in that garbage disposal, like, make sure the switch is off. Nobody's in there that's accidentally going to hit it. Like, that scene freaked me out.
Samuel?
Mine was a movie called Mama, which came out in 2013.
Mamo?
Mama.
Mama.
M-A-M-A. It's about these two girls that survive a crash and both their parents die, and they live in the woods for their adolescence and are raised by this creepy figurine that they call Mama. It's creepy.
You?
Rebecca and I had a very similar answer in that my movie, too, was Pet Sematary.
Different scene?
All of the scenes.
What is this place?
I brought you here to bury Alan's cat.
Daddy, the cats are right.
Why, Judd?
I have marines.
I dreamed he got hit by a car and you and me ran away.
There are worse things than dying.
Wow.
Now, it is a horrible movie. It did not age well. And the child...
The new one's really good.
The child actor... that was the sister in that movie, that might have been the worst performance in the history of Hollywood.
Have you not seen The Phantom Menace?
However, that movie scared the daylights out of me when it came out.
Mine would be Nightmare on Elm Street 1.
Oh.
The OG.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That sent me home. Yeah. That sent me home from April Buther's house in Heidelberg, looking under every single car on the way.
See, I didn't think that was practical, but I thought, man, my dead pet coming back to life and...
Yeah, oh, that's practical?
That seemed a lot more practical to me.
Well, and there's a kid that gets hit by a car, yeah. And then the coffin, the arm flings out of the car. I did not like that movie.
Nightmare on Elm Street didn't scare you?
Yeah.
It scared the living crap out of me.
It did. What was the movie when you were really little? Because high school's one thing. When I was much smaller, it probably would have been Poltergeist. What year did that come out?
Oh, yeah, 82. The TV.
Carol Ann. Yeah, I was...
They're here.
What, 10 years old when that came out or something?
Yeah.
See, I grew up watching scary movies, so they didn't scare me. I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre at way too young of an age. But funny thought about scary movies, would they really be that scary without the suspenseful music? Like, say you took that suspenseful, creepy music track out of the background of every scary movie, wouldn't it just be a boring... movie at that point?
The music makes it worse.
Yeah. Of course the music makes it worse. Jaws.
Oh, that was probably my childhood fear.
I still watch that movie every time it's on. You know that.
I would like to watch that movie in the water.
There she was, just walking down the street singing. Do what did it, did it, done, did it do. Popping her fingers and shoving.
Cannot hear this song without thinking about stripes.
She looked good. She looked fine. She looked good. She looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind before I knew.
So we got this story here. On Take Your Child to Work Day, you'd be hard-pressed to find an employer who bothers to explain concepts like software service compliance or experience-driven work to their 7-year-old. But it is a different story. Oh, my God. On Take Your Parents to Work Day. Once a year, Cornerstone On Demand, a tech company based in Santa Monica, California, hosts an event where they pull back the curtain for parents of adult employees who are interested in learning more about their children's jobs. Cornerstone is one of several companies, by the way, including Google, LinkedIn, and Amazon, that have started hosting these events in recent years in an effort to better attract and retain millennial hires. Why, you might ask? Many young professionals seem to value a different kind of close relationship with their parents than previous generations. And that is a trend that goes back decades. About 20 years ago, Phyllis Hartman was working as the director of human resources at a plastics factory outside of Pittsburgh that produced household goods and pet products. It was generally a nice place to work. It was still a surprise, however, when several job candidates showed up for their interviews with their parents.
No.
No.
Okay, no. I was fine with everything until you just said that.
Yeah, I thought this was like to teach your parents technology.
Mm-hmm. About 3 years ago, recruiter Brian Hart received a call from the mother of a job applicant who had applied for a job through his agency in Austin, Texas. Quote, the mom reached out and said, I'm wanting to find out why this person was not selected. Hart said, when he told the woman he wouldn't be able to share the information with her, she became argumentative. Mm-hmm. Let him go, guys.
Okay,
Let him go.
There is no young person in America that would want their mom to call and figure out why they didn't get the job.
But the problem is there are moms and dads in America who cannot cut the cord and feel like they have to argue for their kid getting or not getting a job. It is embarrassing.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Take Your Parents to Work Day. I think that's quirky and fun. Like bring your mom to work. That'd be hilarious.
I know that your mom and dad and my mom has come into the station and watched maybe a 30-minute segment of the show, and then they've gone about their way.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they grew up on radio. They want to see how it's done. I don't know why they're watching this show, but they want to see how it's
done.
It's
rare, but they have been in before. Like, if my parents are driving through the town,
they might pop in.
Like, we're going to pop in.
My mom has only done it when she has friends from out of town.
Okay.
Hey, look, there's my idiot son on the other side of the glass.
But what about...
Hey, look, he's doing something.
Let's stare at him like he's in a zoo.
Should we tap?
I think that this is a rare example in this story that a mom called a hiring manager. That has to be so rare. Come on. But if you're listening and you are a hiring manager and something wacky like that has happened, please call us.
Oh, I'd love to hear from you. I would love to hear. I can't even... Sam, you're a millennial. You're 22.
I am below millennial.
Yeah, your generation...
I think we're called Z. I don't know.
I believe that might be right. How would you feel if, let's say you were applying for a job, say down in promotions, or a job in the newsroom, and you didn't get it, and your dad called me to ask why Sam Stevie III, for whatever reason, did not get the job? Would you be embarrassed?
Yeah.
Would you call your dad and say, hey, dum-dum, why don't we not call Scott anymore and ask about my career?
Correct.
You'd be mortified. I know you.
I would. Yeah. I'm also an incredibly independent human being.
Yeah. And to be fair, the woman who says she got the call from someone saying, you know, can I bring my mom? This was 20 years ago she said that this happened. So that would have been baby millennial, correct?
That would have been like the beginning of the millennial era. Yeah. I am in HR, writes 9032. I had a candidate come in completely inappropriately dressed for an interview. I sent her home to change. She came back with her mother, who was irate.
Oh.
My mom cost me a job at Garmin 20 years ago, writes 9138. I had just moved to town, found a part-time job. She answered a phone call and told the people I already found employment. I never get back in Garmin's door ever again. I never even got the interview.
From the story, I hear about parents applying on behalf of their kids, either covertly or openly filling out an application. Now, Scott, I'm not saying you would fill out your kid's job application.
I would not.
But for their first big job, if they came to you and said, hey, I'm applying, I'm about to hit send, will you look this over? There is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Good, because I've done it.
Oh, my word. I have not.
Well, have they? I mean, for the first.
Yeah, I think I helped my son fill out his first application. I think he had questions of, like, what does this mean, or how should I word this?
Amy in Grain Valley. Amy, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, this was, interestingly enough, almost 20 years ago, but I had a parent call me after I had let their child go, who was in a early stages of employment, and had called in 3 consecutive days in a row. And mother wanted to send me doctor's note information and convince me to take her daughter back, who was, I'm going to say, probably 23, 24 at the time.
And what did you say to her?
I laughed and said, first of all, I can't confirm or deny even that this person was or wasn't let go to you. I don't know who you are, so I can't even really discuss this, but thanks for making me laugh.
Okay. Listen to this. 35% of senior managers said in a 2016 study that they became annoyed when parents got involved in their children's search for work.
Shock.
35%.
I'm surprised it's not more.
Now, I want to know, does that mean the lifeguard job over the summer?
I would imagine not. You said HR, right?
It said 35% of senior managers.
Senior managers, okay. Let's go to John in KCK. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi.
Better than we deserve. Go ahead.
All right. So I was working for a company a couple of years back on the sales staff, and we were in a search for another salesperson. And so they, you know, a young man, they called for an interview. He came with his dad, and as he was being called in by the sales manager, the dad tried to go into the interview with him and almost became confrontational when the sales manager told him, you know, this is really me and your son. You know, it's not really a place for you to come in and try to intervene. And I just thought that was a crazy shift in dynamic. But I will say this, I'm one that not really bag on millennials. I'm 45, so I guess I'm Generation X.
Yeah.
Because it's really us who raised them and screwed them up.
That's right.
They didn't come up with participation trophies. We did, because we were upset with whatever our parents didn't do for us. So I really get upset when people, you know, bag on millennials for that reason, because it's your parenting that caused them to be this way.
And quite frankly, and you're absolutely right, John, it is us as the parents from Generation X who are the ones walking in.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I think people need to cut them some slack and look more to the parents.
Absolutely.
And you know, get on them for that. Because I've heard, well, you know, people make jokes at things. Well, millennials, we got your participation trophies outside. And you know, and I just think it's disingenuous to really bag on them for the way that they are. We screwed them up.
So. Amen. Hey, do appreciate the call. Somebody writes in, 4147, why not? Why not let a parent come in for the interview? Because we're not hiring you, you old fogey. We're trying to hire your kid.
And if he can't speak for himself,
that's right.
He probably shouldn't have a job.
See, and I've always taken issue, and Sam, I think you'll appreciate this, even though I know you're Generation Z, not millennial. I've always taken issue with people who poo-poo the younger generation. Well, they don't want to work. Their face is always in their phone. They live in their grandma's basement or mom's basement or whatever. I tell you right now, I have hired millennials to work at this radio station, and they have been nothing but exceptional in their
Thank
work.
Thank you.
Well, you are notwithstanding.
Ouch.
But Travis Walker is a millennial.
Yeah.
One of the best damn employees I ever hired. One of the best. Brandon out in the newsroom is a millennial. He's damn good. Sam Stevie III, meh.
He's We're okay. working on him.
We're trying. We're trying. Kara Marxer was a millennial. Damn good.
Kara was a millennial?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yep. 576-7798. What are you? Are you Generation X or are you Generation Y? You're Y.
She's Y.
I'm Gen X.
You are not X. You have to be Y.
1980.
I think that's the tail end of Generation X. Sam, will you look that up? I think 1980 was the cutoff year.
Huh. Okay.
576-7798. Rebecca Crockett, Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things
so the story we found says HR managers are getting a little bit annoyed because the parents of millennials are showing up for job interviews, calling when their kids don't get the job, etc. James in Warrensburg. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
We're doing well.
Hey, so I start off, I am a millennial born in 94, but I am a non-typical millennial. I grew up on a farm and know all the stuff for hard work, but I have done a lot of hiring myself. Whether it be for, I worked at a pizza place here in town for many years, and we've had a lot of parents who have tried to sit in on the interviews. And even though some of them we say, no, we're hiring, you know, your kid instead of you, they'll say, oh, okay, and they'll go sit somewhere, and then they'll get up and go to the bathroom and sit a little closer, and then they'll keep on, like, moving closer. And to the they're not helicopter parents. I think they're called bulldoze parents is the new term.
I believe it's lawnmower parents.
Okay.
But yeah, I get your point. And do they, like, during the interview process, when you're asking the kid, and by kid, I mean young adult, a question, do the parents try to pipe in?
You can hear the sighs and the coughs from across the room.
Like code?
When the kids, yeah, it's like, so what? How did you hear about us? Why are you interested? Why are you the right for this job?
Uh-huh.
And the kid will start saying something, and you can just hear the parent go, ugh, or and just try and get them to, like, stop talking. Or, like, switch how they're saying stuff.
Oh, my God.
But if you had to put a number to it or a percentage, like, this wasn't that often that it happened.
Or was it?
About 15 to 20% of the time.
1 out of 5.
Come on. Really?
Yes. And then I'd put a little note on the top of their application of like had parent inside.
No, just right. Failed to launch.
Yeah.
Do not hire.
And we'd have those parents would call back and say, so we haven't heard anything yet about
the parents would call back. Hired.
Yes. We haven't heard anything yet about if you are looking to hire my son, so-and-so, or my daughter.
Yeah, because you sabotage your chance, you crazy bee.
And there's been times that I have told them, it's like, no, we decided that not to hire them because they weren't able to, you know.
Detach?
Yeah. I was thinking of another phrase, but let's just say
the shuttle didn't remove itself from the power boosters. Okay,
exactly.
Oh my God, Michael in Kansas City. Hello, Michael.
Hey guys, it's an honor and a privilege to speak to you.
Oh, hi, Michael.
The honor is ours. Thank you.
Well, so similar to your last caller, I was a general manager of a very large electronics retailer. And, you know, the kind of place where any teenager would love to work. And I would say every summer, every summer about 5 to 10 parents would come in and start, you know, they'd bring in their teenager and, you know, you'd meet them at the front door and they'd start asking questions about what it takes to get hired on and how old you have to be. And they would just keep asking questions. And the kid is just standing right there, just not even looking at you, not making eye contact. And it was just a very, very awkward and crazy process, and I would make sure I was okay. Yeah, what's their name? And they would tell me, and I'd go find their application and make sure I didn't look at it.
Now, somebody writes in, and this is a good point. From I believe it's 5064 or 5084. My eyes are failing me. My 18-year-old is a special needs person.
Well,
I always go along.
Of course, that's different.
And on that one, yeah, that's different. If your kid is not special needs and is 22 years old, fresh out of college, and you're going on their job interview, I'm going to be honest. You suck at being a parent because you got to let them go. This is classic failure to launch.
What does it say to the kid that the parent thinks that they can't do their own job interview?
Right. If my parents went along with me on a job interview, I would be humiliated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what, you think I can't do this? I can embarrass myself just as well as I can if you went with me. I don't need your help embarrassing myself in front of some guy or gal. Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.